What we're going to do is we're going to continue on today in our series that we're doing on I Believe. Now, last week, for those of you who were here, Beatty Bass, and I don't blame you if you wasn't here because I know it was a holiday weekend. But if you wasn't here, I would suggest you go back and listen to Beatty's sermon last week. He talked about I believe in God. We need to believe in God. But he went on just not I believe in God, but he went more of an apologetic, went through some quotes, some things from very smart people, as he put it, scientists and philosophers and all, and went through and talked about, I believe in God, and he gave some proof text for that. Then he said, not that I just believe in God, but I believe in the Christianity. I believe in Jesus as the representative of God on the earth. And he talked about that and how you come about that. So there's this aspect of believing that he spoke about, I believe in God. Today we're going to continue on with that, and my passage, my text for the day is Romans chapter 10. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to that, or if not, you can look it up on the screen there. And I want to read through this, and it has some very significant things, I believe, to say to us in this area of I believe. But it says, but what does it say, starting in verse 8? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes. Take note of that. With the heart a person believes, resulting in salvation. Let's see. I lost my place. Resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. Then in verse 11, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. When you look there, excuse me. When you look at these three and four verses, you'll notice that in verses 8, 9, and 10, that he talks about confessing with the mouth and believing with the heart. He said it three different times. I think he's trying to get something across to us, Paul is, when he wrote this. And then in verse 12, he again says, or in verse 11, he talks about believing again. Then in verse 12 and 13, he talks about calling on the name, the confession of your mouth. So he's really giving some strong exhortation to the Romans. Now, this book was written to the Roman Christians somewhere around 57, 58 year in the first century. And he's writing to them in Rome, and Rome is the capital of the Roman Empire. I'll give you a little historical backdrop. This is the capital of the Roman Empire. This is where the emperor was. This is where the forces of power were at. And he wrote this around 57 and 58, somewhere around there. And he sent it to the Christians that were in that city. One thing about the scriptures, which I really love, is the fact that he was inspired to write this the way he wrote it, not knowing that 6-7 years later, Nero was going to come to power, was going to set the city on fire, and then he was going to blame the Christians for it and start a persecution against the Christians of that time. All in throwing them to the lion's den, you name it, the different things that they did to persecute Christians at that time. And Paul wrote this saying, believe it in your heart and confessing with your mouth. So what happened was it began to be dangerous to be a Christian in that area. Now, the rest of the Roman Empire, they're not sure. There might have been some more freedoms in other places. But as far as Rome was concerned, in Italy, it was a dangerous thing. I don't know that he even realized that when he wrote this, that what was going to be happening 5, 6, 7 years later, that confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart was going to jeopardize your life. It's easy to believe something. It's another thing to confess it.
Right.
So nowadays, when you confess Christianity, it may or may not in the Western world cause you some discomfort. But it was not to the degree here, thank God, that it is in other parts of the world right now with ISIS and others. If you confess Jesus, then your life is immediately in trouble. If you're Nigeria, northern Nigeria, you profess the name of Jesus, then there's your life is in jeopardy in many ways. And so now when we say, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, we may have, things are quickly going to the place where you're going to have to take a stand, and it may affect you economically.
Right.
To say, I believe in Jesus, to believe in the Word, it may be a little ostracizing sometimes to say, I am a Christian, to believe, to say that. And well, I think he's coupling these two things together because, you know, for you to believe it in your heart, there has to be a confession in your mouth. There has to be a saying that takes place in there. Now, as we continue on, I want to just give you the title of the sermon today. The title is, I Believe in My Heart. I Believe in My Heart. Now, we're going to focus. He talks about confession. He talks about believing in your heart. Because our series is entitled, I Believe, I'm going to be focusing most of my attention on what it means to believe in your heart versus the confession aspects of it. But we'll be hitting on both of those. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity that we have here as Americans and the freedom that we have here to come and to worship you unhindered in many ways, Lord. That we can come here freely to worship and adore you, Jesus. We're not having to hide out in the caves or do anything like they did in the Roman times. But Lord, we can come and freely worship you, God. And I pray that you would teach us today what it means to really believe in our hearts. So what does it mean to believe with your heart? What does that really mean when he says that? And I'm going to answer that in just a few moments as we continue to go down here. But first question that comes to me is, what does it really mean to believe? What does believe really mean? If you look it up in the dictionary, it says to have a confidence in the truth, the existence, or the reliability of something. To have confidence or faith in the truth. To have confidence in its assertions. If you're just looking for a general description of what belief is, the biblical believe goes a little bit deeper than that, though. The biblical meaning in the Greek, you'll find it's, and when you talk about believing, the word is very similar to faith in the Greek. So faith, believing, trust, those all come from the same root word. They're all part of the same Greek verbiage there. And so there's a more of a significance to what this means to believe. It's not about I believe in the hot dog. I mean, it's something really serious. And it talks about, simplifies in the sense of the word reliance upon. There's this reliance upon what you believe. You know, there is a difference between a mental assent and believing in your heart. Now, I grew up in church, so I know the difference myself. Hopefully, we all will know the difference when I'm done here, hopefully. But it's different for you to say in your mind, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the resurrection. Anybody can say and make a mental assent to that fact. There's a lot of people that I know who would make that, oh yeah, I believe in the resurrection, or I believe in Jesus. It's becoming fewer and fewer, actually, the people I talk to. But if you grew up in the South, if you grew up around here and you grew up around church, it's very easy to just say, well, I believe in that. Let me read this quote to you. Said, one person with belief is equal to 99 who have only interest. So what does it mean to really believe? One person with a strong conviction and belief is equal to 99 who just are curious, who are just interested in that. And what happens is what you believe becomes a barometer for your life. What you believe, a barometer, like if the weather's bad, you go out and test the testing for weather and the pressure in the air. It becomes like a compass for all the Boy Scouts out there. It becomes a compass. You know, your belief is the compass of your life, and it sits you in the right direction, or your measuring rod, or your measuring tape. of who you are. What you believe really impacts how you live and the direction that you live on, the direction that you're going on in your life. I have another quote here from Sigmund Freud, of all people. I don't think anybody would say that he was a Christian on any terms. But he made a remarkable statement right here that I think is impressive. He said, "He does not believe that does not live according to his belief." He does not believe that does not live according to his belief. So if someone wants to say, "I believe in something," it should make an impact in your life. If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you believe in the incarnation of God into man, if you believe in the resurrection, why I'm pointing on the resurrection, but because of the resurrection of Jesus, everything that he did, all the miracles that he did, everything that was accomplished while he was here on the earth was encapsulated, was all confirmed by the resurrection. If he did not raise from the dead, then there's no pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. There's no life change at that moment. There's no long-term worship that we should have of him. It confirmed his deity. It confirmed who he was. And so if a person really believes in the resurrection, believe in your heart, not just in your mind, then it will radically change you. It will change you. You will think different. You will look at life differently. It will be an amazing impact upon your life. What happens, I have seen, is that people tend to say, "Well, yeah, I believe." There's this gap sometimes between belief and functional belief. There's a break between your mind and your heart. Your mind and how you live your life. There's this separation between those two things. So your belief should impact and direct you to where you go. So I grew up in church. I mentally assented, am I saying it correctly? My English teacher wife up here, you know, that I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, I had some experiences with Jesus, and I had some moments that I said, "I'm sorry, Lord." And I had a lot of those, "Lord, get me out of this moment. I'll serve you with all my heart. I'll serve you forever if you'll just get me out of this moment." I had a lot of those. I was more of a foxhole Christian. You know, when things got bad, I would, you know, some people started shooting at me, things, I would go cry out to God. But I began to realize when I got to college that there was a difference between believing here and believing down deep. Because anybody can say, "I believe." And there's a passage in the Bible that says this so well. It says in Mark chapter 12. James chapter 2 verse 19. I'm sorry, I skipped it. "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder." So everybody believes in God, except for those who claim they don't atheists. But as far as the spiritual world, there's a belief in God. The devil believes in God. So there has to be something that changes. So what does it mean to believe with your heart? What does that really mean? It doesn't require you to be a rocket scientist. It doesn't require you to have a PhD. It doesn't require any education at all to believe with all your heart. What it basically means is very simple. Repentance. You genuinely are sorry for what you did. Because if you believe in the resurrection, you believe in that, then the holiness of our God will cause us to want to live according to that way. The Bible also says loving with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark 12:30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." It basically requires you to believe with your heart, but to surrender to Jesus. Someone says, "How do I know I'm believing in my heart?" Well, first off, you're surrendering to him. You're making him a part of your decisions. You're genuinely repentant and sorry for what you've done. And you pull your life, throw your life at the foot of the cross, and you say, "Jesus, I know I'm messed up. I know I'm not perfect, but I give my life to you." How do I know that I really believe? It's because, look, if you were not in this church, you wouldn't care. You're here because I believe God drew you. His hand is upon you. And deep down in your heart, I believe that you can't believe in your heart just because you've given your life to Him. Does that mean everything is perfect and everything is going to work out for you? No, it doesn't. There's things that are going to happen in life at this time, you know, different times. But when I give my life to Christ, when I endeavor to walk in His ways, when I make Him the center of my decision making, when I read my Bible, I pray, I pursue after God, that's believing in your heart. It wasn't, when Paul was speaking, he wasn't talking about just make some mental, yeah, I check off a list. When he said believing in your heart in the book of Romans, man, their life was in danger by believing in their heart. Because when they believed in their heart, their mouth had to follow after as confession. And so when they stood before someone, they had a chance to deny Jesus or not to deny Jesus. So there's a lot of historical context behind what we're reading here in Romans, the significance of what that verse means. Now, for how that applies to us today, it's the same way. We commit our lives, we surrender our lives, we make Him Lord of our life. That He is involved with every aspect of it. And when we come into that place, when we come into that place of loving Him like that and pouring out our hearts before Him, there's a couple of things, there's results that happen. When you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, when you commit your life to Him, and you repent, and you pour out and He pours out His blessing upon you and His grace upon you, there are several things that happen. One thing is, it changes what you believe about God. One thing I don't understand is why God Almighty would send His Son to save us. Why would He do something like that? We've all messed up. We've all deserve to be punished, but God didn't want to do that for us. His lovingness, His loving kindness was so poured out upon us. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in this world that I don't understand. I've had them happen to my own life. Suffering and pain and mourning and, you know, some of the questions, the deep theological questions of why is there hurt? Why is there evil in the world? Why are people suffering and hurting? And I don't have time to go into a long dissertation of why that is the case. But the thing that I have learned from my own experiences of going through traumatic experiences is that when you get the understanding of the revelation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what God did for you, these questions are still there, but they tend to fade in the glory of who He is. When you begin to see who Jesus is, when you begin to see what He did and He didn't have to do it, all these questions begin to become lesser and lesser as I become closer to the eternity and the light and I see Him. My life becomes, I don't understand everything, God, but I know that there's a holiness, there's a glory, there's an amazing thing that You have done for me, my Father, God, and Jesus dying on the cross. And so all the questions begin to just fade. So I can't give you I can't explain to you why things happen bad on this earth, other than I know we live in a fallen world, and we have bad things are going to happen to good people. We live in a fallen world, but we have a God who loved us so much in the midst of this that He sent His only Son to suffer and be punished and to die a gruesome death. And when you begin to get the revelation of believing in this resurrection, it changes you forever. The impact that it has upon you is life-changing. And it will forever change you. So yes, I've had some bad things happen to me. But boy, when you get a revelation of Jesus, when you get a revelation of eternity, it really impacts and changes you. It also gives you, let me just back up. Sometimes we spend so much time thinking about what God hasn't done for us yet, we forget about what He's already done. You know, people get so busy trying to blame God for stuff, but as we sing that song, His breath is in our lungs. If it wasn't for Him, we'd have no life. We would have nothing. So I believe that as you get closer to God, He may not answer every question that you have. But the question that He has answered is, Jesus Christ died on the cross and He rose from the dead so you can be saved, you can be born again. He's answered that question. And He's answered the question that He's with you. The second thing that you get when you believe in something with your heart is you begin to believe differently about yourself. When you get a revelation of this resurrection, you begin to believe differently about yourself. I know people who have terrible self-esteem, didn't have a good upbringing, or they felt pushed down and abused or used. When you begin to see who you are in the light of the gospel, man, you can walk as a child of God, not in pride, but in confidence in your God. That you are His child. Your life has value. Your life has merit. Your life has a destiny, has a calling, has a purpose. There's no accidents in God's kingdom. You are more than enough. God is more than enough for you, rather, to be able to do whatever He wants you to do. Because when you start seeing yourself in the light of the gospel, you can't look at your faults. You have to look at the holiness of Jesus, who's perfect. And as you look at Him and you see His glory and you see His majesty, Lord, I know I'm a sinner saved by grace, but Lord, I know I can walk in confidence knowing that I am. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you will be saved. For it results, and he goes on, he says, for your mouth confesses. When a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. It also makes you think differently about other people. When you begin, if you really believe in the gospel, if you really believe in the resurrection, you start thinking differently about God, that He's not a taskmaster up there against us. You start believing about yourself differently, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody say amen to that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because I'm His child. The third thing is you start to believe differently about other people. I tell you what, when you see that God made everybody, no matter what their race, creed, color, then you begin to realize, wait a minute, there's no room for racism and prejudice in the body of Christ. There's no room for that. We're all created in the image of God. And when you really get the revelation of the image of God, no matter what nation, nationality you come from, you start looking at people in the light of, how can I get them saved? How can I share the good news of Jesus to that person versus, I don't want to be around them. I don't want to be close to them. But there is this part of you that sees them as one who Jesus wants to save, who Jesus wants to touch, Jesus wants to grab a hold of. So believing in your heart means I lay it on the cross. I believe with all my heart. I believe that He is the one who came for me and who I worship and who I serve. That old scripture, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, so it comes alive. When you realize that, you know, I don't want to do to some other people what has been done to me. Because I see now who Jesus is. I see the resurrection. I believe in my heart. Not just I believe in my head. I've met some people, and please don't take this wrong. I'm from North Carolina, Eastern North Carolina. I'm 52. Anyway, I've met people who told me they believed in Jesus, but I could not see Jesus in their life at all. I went to church with them, not all of them, but there were some saints of God in there who loved God, and I could tell it. I could tell the difference. Even as a teenager who himself was not serving God to the degree. I had more mental assent than I had anything else. But I could tell if somebody loved Jesus and if they didn't, and they were just mentally assenting to it. And they're just on this board or that board. I could not see any fruits of the Spirit in their life, but they would definitely be. I had a teacher in my first university that I went to, I'm not going to call it out here, who didn't even know if he believed in the resurrection but was on his deacon board of his church. How do I know that? Because I heard some talk. I actually heard him talking on the bus. We were coming back, and this one girl was saved, and she was talking about living, you know, somehow religion came up, and she was talking about living right. And he goes, well, I don't know. Do you really have to do that? Do you have to really believe in that? Almost causing this girl to stumble. So I know what it's like for somebody to, not only in that situation, but in others, where people who say one thing, but don't live it that way. And I just determined that's how I'm going to live my life. If you believe it, you live it. If you believe it, let God, we're all got our problems, believe me. Let Him work in your life. But if you believe in your heart, you're going to live it the right way. You're going to go after Jesus, and He's going to be with you and help you through your struggles and all the battles that you have. I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm talking about just a heart that's rendered and saying, God, I'll throw myself on the cross. I know I don't do it all right all the time. But Lord, here I am. Send me. Use me. Take me. Whatever you want to do with me despite all my flaws. That's what surrendering and believing in your heart is all about. It doesn't take, like I said, it's not hard. It's not hard to understand what it takes. Sometimes it's a little bit harder to do because sometimes, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we get this drift will come on us. And if you remember when I talked about the drift, we have a tendency to want to drift away from Jesus if we're not in relationships with other Christians. And so that said, let me just read this again. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, do not be ashamed of the gospel, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So, salvation. So I just want to pray for you. Baby, come on up. I'm just going to pray as we dismiss. Father, I pray today for any of those who are here within my voice, sound of my voice, Lord Jesus, that if they need to really believe in their heart and not just in their head, if there's some compromise in their life or if there's some areas of their heart that they need to surrender to Jesus right now, that they would do that. If they've been away from God for a number of years and they need to come back, or they've turned away, or they just need to get their life right today, Father, I pray that you would come and reveal yourself. Reveal the cross to them today. Reveal to them the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That they would understand it, they would see in their heart, that they would believe it. So today I believe in my heart, O God, that who you are. And I pray for every individual today that you would give them the grace to live and to serve and follow after you. If you say, Eddie, I need somebody to pray for me today. I need to get my life right. I haven't been living for Jesus. I haven't been serving Him. I'm just a religious person. If that's you today, you want to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand. Let me just pray with you. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. Father, I just pray those folks that raise their hands, if you just repeat this prayer after me and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin, my compromise. And today I dedicate my life to serving you again. I repent. Ask you to save me. Ask you to forgive me. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.